Now, the Trump administration is mulling plans to send federal officers to cities nationwide in an effort, they say, to quell anti-police protests and to deal with violent crime. The president's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, said agents could even be deployed in Wisconsin. Here's a clip of Meadows on Fox News Channel over the weekend.
And you'll see something rolled out this week as we start to go in and make sure that the communities, whether it's Chicago or Portland or Milwaukee or someplace across the heartland of the country, we need to make sure that our communities are safe.
In a statement, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett said he hasn't received any info about federal intervention in the city, that Milwaukee's protests have largely been peaceful, and that the Fed's presence would be counterproductive. Today, President Trump announced he's sending a surge of federal law enforcement officers to Chicago. Mayor Lori Lightfoot said the operation would not be similar to that in Portland, Oregon. Local and state leaders there say agents disregarded local rules and expectations about wearing identification, using tear gas, and crowd control. So how much authority does a president have when it comes to deploying federal forces to U.S. cities? Claire Finkelstein is the Algernon Biddle Professor of Law and a Professor of Philosophy at the University of Pennsylvania. She's faculty director of the Center for Ethics and the Rule of Law. She's the author of several books. They include Sovereignty and the New Executive Authority, Ethics, National Security, and the Rule of Law, and has written elsewhere about these issues. Claire, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it seems like there's two different paths here on what these law enforcement agencies, federal law enforcement agents would be doing. Let's start with the Portland case. We've seen these long-running protests, some riots in Portland, and now we've got these Homeland Security enforcement officials there. What is your read on that situation, first of all?
Well, let's be really clear. The actions of these so-called federal agents is violating several layers of law here. First of all, it violates the Constitution, the rights of peaceful protesters to assemble. And for the most part, that's what it's been in Portland, to be arrested when they are exercising their First Amendment rights is unconscionable in a free democracy. It also violates their Fifth and 14th Amendment rights under the U.S. Constitution, not to mention the 10th Amendment, because the state is not welcoming this intervention. Oregon Governor Kate Brown was very clear that the presence of federal agents is not welcome, and there is no reason to suppose that the situation there is so out of hand that we have an insurrection, which would justify the use of federal troops to march in. So this is not a legal action on the part of the federal government. They are not conducting themselves like lawful agents. Although apparently there were some reports of their attempting to read people their rights, they are not observing the law enforcement protocol, and they are not trained to do that. These are not valid law enforcement agents, and they have no business being there.
The argument, at least initially, was that, okay, there are federal facilities in the zone of these protests. We are sending these federal agents there primarily to protect these facilities, federal buildings and whatnot, and we can pursue beyond those if we need to. What do you make of that justification?
It's very interesting because, you know, the executive order that President Trump signed, I think, last week, protecting monuments, may be a sort of lead into this, right? Because he is, in effect, suggesting that wherever there is a monument, in particular Confederate monuments that he wants to protect, he will be entitled to come in and use federal troops to protect those monuments, given that there's an executive order. But while there is a limited federal law enforcement power to protect federal property, it is much more limited than the way that these agents are behaving. So they are wandering around Portland, picking people up nowhere near federal property. That is not justified as part of the protection of that federal property. Moreover, it is transparently pretextual. So when you are using the protection of federal property as a pretext for violating people's constitutional rights, it is not valid under federal law, and the law cannot be stretched that far.
I want to give a listen to Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler on CNN last night, saying there's no reason, he thought, for the feds to get involved in the first place, and arguing that they're making the situation worse.
Oh, this is just crazy. We were coming to the end of our nightly demonstrations, at least the part where people were vandalizing thing and some scattered acts of violence. But we saw the energy coming out of that. We thought it would be done in a couple of days. But then the federal government sent in dozens, if not hundreds of troops. They engaged in what I would describe as really abhorrent tactics. And basically, they blew the lid off of this. Since they've been here, we've had huge crowds come downtown. We've had more violence. We've had more violence. They basically kicked the hornet's nest.
So your thoughts, that's not so much on the legal side of things, Claire, but on the outcome.
Yeah, I want to be really clear about this. Remember early on in the protests, there were reports of right-wing agitators in the crowds trying to turn the demonstrations violent. This is an old technique, right? If the loosely organized right-wing supremacists, white supremacists in this country are trying to undo the left, what they do is they send agitators into a crowd in order to turn that crowd violent, and then have a basis for suppression and saying, look, you know, this discredits the Black Lives Matter movement. What's so frightening about that is that what we see is here in Portland for the first time is the federal government taking on the functions of those loosely organized non-governmental agitators who were trying to discredit a peaceful protest movement. And that's something that we know from history. We know it from 1933 with brown shirts coming in sent by Hitler's government to try to discredit those who would oppose their efforts and have an excuse to restore law and order. It is a frightening series of developments, and mayors and governors all over the country are bracing themselves for this to be reproduced in their cities.
Talking to Claire Finkelstein, professor of law and professor of philosophy at the University of Pennsylvania, talking about the use of federal law enforcement agents against protesters in places like Portland and with the stated goal in other cities of trying to turn the tide on violent crime. You can join in with your thoughts and reactions at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to that other thread now. President Trump at a law enforcement roundtable at the White House had criticized recently the city of Chicago and its violence and vowed to act as he did today. Here's a listen.
When you have 20 people killed, 22 people killed in one weekend in Chicago, and you have 88 shootings, it's not even conceivable. That's worse than Afghanistan, I hate to say it. That's worse than any war zone that we're in by a lot. It makes them look like tame places by comparison, so we're not going to let it go on. We're not supposed to wait for them to call, but they don't call.
So the president today saying, yes, he's sending law enforcement agents to Chicago and Albuquerque trying to help crack down on violent crime. A different theme, but similar agency officials, I think. Is this different or do you see similar problems?
It's very similar. And let's be really clear about what's going on here. There is no justification under federal law either for using federal troops in this way, because it violates what's called the Posse Comitatus Act, or the general principle of Posse Comitatus. It's a fancy word that really just means federal troops, the military, should not be involved in local law enforcement. Now, there is some limited justification for getting federal agents involved. So you remember that President Trump a few weeks ago declared Antifa a domestic terrorist organization. That may have been an attempt to set up just what we see here, namely to say we're routing out terrorism. Terrorism is a federal crime. Therefore, we can send in federal agents to try to crack down on what is a federal crime. Only it turns out there is no justification for declaring a domestic federal terrorist organization. We only do that with foreign organizations. So this is very much a manipulation of federal law to try to find a basis for sending in federal agents. I should also point out that there are the techniques that have been used, such as using tear gas, violate state law because there is a local police, there is a local ordinance banning local police from using tear gas in place in Portland right now. That, you know, these agents, unless they have a federal legal argument for preempting local law, are actually subject to local law. And so they don't have any justification for using techniques that violate local ordinances as well as federal constitutional law and background federal law like posse comitatus.
We're talking about the limits of a president's power to use federal forces and agents in U.S. cities and states. Claire Finkelstein is with us, professor of law and philosophy at the University of Pennsylvania, director there of the Center for Ethics and the Rule of Law. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about President Trump sending federal agents to tackle protests in Portland and maybe other cities and now to address violent crime in other American cities? Do you think it's the right call? Do you worry about the legal justification, the precedent? Call in with your questions and reactions. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the Trump administration's decision to send in federal agents to Portland, Oregon, and now other cities. Claire Finkelstein is with us, professor of law and philosophy at the University of Pennsylvania, author of books including Sovereignty and the New Executive Authority, Ethics, National Security, and the Rule of Law. You could join in with your questions and reactions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. To your calls now. Daryl is with us in Madison. Daryl, hi.
Cyril, this is Cyril. Hi.
Cyril, hi. Go ahead.
A comment about this latest strategy. I believe that the president's use of federal agents from various bureaus and departments of the federal government is an end-run tactic because he was unable to utilize regular U.S. Army forces to quell the protests several weeks ago, and that because he was unable to do that, he is now using non-military but still federal-controlled personnel.
Cyril, thanks a lot for the call. Claire, what do you think an end run effectively, Cyril says, around the president's inability to use actual army troops?
Well, he does have a point because look what happened in D.C. in Lafayette Park. There was a use of federal troops for that. And General Milley was later extremely sorry that he had participated in that in any way and allowed that to occur. Again, there is this very firm principle of posse comitatus, which says you may not use federal troops for civilian law enforcement. But I think if you look from the sort of 20,000-foot view here and squint your eyes, it sort of doesn't matter which federal agents or troops are being used because all of them are illegal. And so it's you know, the president and I believe the attorney general, whose fingerprints are really all over this, are just using any means they can basically to oppose state authority, to try to gain an advantage in the election by portraying the the movement in the country right now, which is so important, so significant, as a bunch of left-wing agitators, to try to portray himself as the law and order president. And so I think he will use any means at his disposal. And what's really important when you look at this compared to past events, such as the riots in Los Angeles following the Rodney King verdict, there was a huge difference there because in that case, local law enforcement officials requested the federal assistance and said, hey, Los Angeles is out of control. We can't get this out of control. Will you come help us? Here, what's so important is that the president is once again attacking the authority and trying to undercut the governors of the various states, especially Democratic governors States that have a strong Democratic population, which is why in recent threats he is talking about sending federal troops or federal agents into a string of cities, including my own city of Philadelphia.
Thanks for the call, Cyril. We'll go now to Suzette in Oconomowoc. Suzette, hi.
Hi. So because Trump is doing this already, I mean, it's illegal, but he's already doing it. And he seems to do quite a lot of things that are illegal. What has to happen to stop it? I mean, this is, you know, I never thought I would see this. I'm almost 6 years old. I never thought I would see this. And it's really terrifying to a lot of us. How do you stop this president who flies in the face of law all the time? How do we make this not turn into Hitler's Germany?
Well, that is a wonderful question. And of course, the best way to stop him is to vote him out of office in November and for as many people to turn out as possible and make their voices heard. For example, let's imagine what may happen in my own city, Philadelphia. Our district attorney, Larry Krasner, has said that any federal law enforcement officers who unlawfully try to arrest people, they will face criminal charges from his office. That is considered an assault. It may also be kidnapping. So in addition to the other constitutional rights that they are violating and the possible civil actions that could result from this, we are potentially talking about local law enforcement treating federal agents as criminals. Now, this sort of brings us back to a reverse civil war almost, or really the time of the civil rights movement when federal troops were deploying, the National Guard was deployed to try to enforce civil rights laws and decisions that had been made, court decisions, and one can think of Brown v. Board of Education in particular. But in those cases, the federal government was on the side of individual constitutional rights. And here it's the federal government that is violating those rights, and the state governors are trying to protect them. So it's an extremely interesting but also dangerous time in our country, and there are ways to fight back.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Clara Finkelstein from the University of Pennsylvania, looking at the president's use of various federal Homeland Security agents in Portland and elsewhere. Now, Chad Wolf, acting Secretary of Homeland Security, said, I'm going to quote a little bit, these officers are not stormtroopers. They're not the Gestapo, as some have described them. That description is offensive. It's hyperbolic and it's dishonest. And he goes on, he looks forward to the day that officers are redeployed back to the regular day-to-day mission, but they have this duty because of the violence. So argument from the Trump administration that these concerns are overblown and hyperbolic.
In my view, the actions, as I've already expressed, are so patently illegal that the attempts to justify this on the part of federal officials is problematic, to the point that I think Congress should be conducting impeachment inquiries at this point. After Lafayette Park already, the spectacle of federal troops being deployed and federal agents alongside DC police firing rubber bullets and using pepper spray or tear gas, we're still not sure which, in Lafayette Park was so appalling on peaceful demonstrators just so that the president could cross Lafayette Park and get a photo op with a Bible in front of the church. So I think that this is really a moment in which we need to see mayors and governors fighting back. We need to give them our strongest possible support. But at the same time, I really think that this is also a moment when our federal officials have to be held to account, and in particular, the Attorney General, where he is supposed to be the repository of the rule of law in this country. If he is violating the law, he needs to be investigated for that, and that will strengthen Congress's hand to get the information it needs to find out exactly what's going on here.
Time for one more quick call. Logan is with us in Green Bay. Logan, hello.
Hi. In most countries, the military cannot be used within the country to quell an insurrection if this is called, you know, leads to anything like that. Trump is capable of anything. What happens when he uses it, when he loses the election and uses the military for his own purpose to declare the election null and void?
Logan, thanks for the call. Just a half a minute or so, Claire, concerns that President Trump would use similar methods if he lost the election.
I fear that Logan is right to be concerned. However, I want to say I have a lot of faith in our military ultimately. They receive excellent training in the rule of law, and they take an oath to uphold the Constitution and to defend the Constitution, an oath that they take seriously, unlike some of our federal officials. I do not believe that our military would lend itself to such efforts, and I think that if Donald Trump loses in November, that we will see our military clearly on the side of the right of succession and validating the election.
Thanks to our guest today, Claire Finkelstein, professor of law and philosophy at the University of Pennsylvania, looking at the Trump administration's use of federal agents in U.S. cities with the stated goal of stopping violence in those communities.